We have organized to make our workplace better, not because we believe LBB is bad. We have nothing negative to say about the company. We hope you have no desire to disparage your own workers and their own union because of their decision to organize. We ask for a written, signed commitment to non-disparagement and neutrality. We request respect and fair deal. We ask that LBB and all its representatives demonstrate respect for our decision to organize by not hiring union busters, not engaging in union busting yourself, no captive audience meetings, no anti-union literature, no opposition to employees who want simply to exercise fundamental human rights to bargain collectively. Not spying on or interrogating workers about union activities.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Clinton Street Resistance Series every Monday night at the Clinton Street Theater. Monday, March 18th, Clinton Street Resistance will screen Dogma. This screening benefits Not Okay PDX. Again, that's Dogma showing Monday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good evening. This is Labor Radio. I am your host, Michael Cathcart. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, sunny evening. Before I get started here, I'd just like to give a shout-out. If you were just listening to the program before this, we here at Labor Radio stand in solidarity with the workers at Little Big Burger, who just formed a union this weekend. It's very exciting, and we'd like to give a shout-out to them. So congratulations to those folks, and we stand here in solidarity with you. So moving along from that, I have a pretty long story to get to, and just a little bit of time to bring it to you here. So if you're here in Portland, if you're commuting home right now, you see it's actually a pretty beautiful sunny evening. Don't be fooled. Spring is likely a few weeks away still, but with this time of year comes spring training for Major League Baseball and the beginning of the Major League Baseball season. Now, normally, I don't really talk about sports on this show, but this issue actually intersects with both sports and labor issues, so I'm going to cover a topic that personally is near and dear to my heart. I personally am a major baseball fan, and this is an issue that I think will resonate with both sports fans and with fans of Labor Radio. So, you may recognize, you know, if you know anything about sports or just general American culture, you recognize, you know, the iconic baseball hats, a Yankees hat, a Dodgers hat, Cubs hat, things like that. You know, generally you'll see them, they're wool hats. They will generally be fitted all the way around, stitched with, you know, the embroidered logo on the front. I think even Jay-Z raps about making a Yankees hat more famous than a Yankee can. People around the world, even if you are not American or even if you don't even know anything about the game of baseball, you still likely recognize a new era baseball cap, a Major League Baseball cap. And so this story is actually focusing on those hats specifically. New Era, which is a New Era cap company, is the company that makes the most recognizable fitted Major League Baseball hats. That you see sold everywhere, both at stadiums, at stores, you know, around the world, around the country. That company has been operating for the last 60 years in upstate New York, or I guess more reasonably western New York, outside of Buffalo in a town called Derby. They have a factory there, a manufacturing plant, and they've been producing Major League Baseball's hats for the last 60 years. And so not only do they produce the hats worn by the ballplayers on the field, but they also produce all of the replica hats, you know, all the different versions of the hats that you would buy in a store as a fan. And so that's been going on. That's an organization that is rooted in the region there in western New York, the area around Buffalo, and specifically Derby, New York. And again, yeah, they've been operating there for 60 years. New Era itself is one of the most recognizable apparel brands in the world. They post annually over $750 million in sales. They boast major partnerships, you know, not only with Major League Baseball, but also with the National Basketball Association, with NASCAR, with the NFL, you know, all the major sporting, all the major sports leagues, and then they produce hats that are not even sports related too. So they're a very recognizable brand. Their owners, the ownership group, they're run by the Koch family, which, you know, I had to do a little bit of research, but it's surprisingly not related to the Koch brothers, Charles and David. This is a different Koch family, although there may be some distant lineage there. But this family is rooted in upstate New York, and they are the Koch family, and they have run this company for, you know, more than for the better part of a century. And they themselves, and the company itself, is a point of regional pride there. You know, the company because of the high profile of that company, they bring attention and, you know, opportunity to that region, which I personally don't have any connections to that region, but I know just based on, you know, culture and reading that it's an area that has been hit relatively hard by the loss of manufacturing in this country. So to have a major manufacturing plant that still exists in that area is a pretty amazing thing. Not only that, but they have, you know, they employ a bunch of people. They have a major headquarters in downtown Buffalo, and they even own the naming rights to the football stadium that the Buffalo Bills play in there in Buffalo. And so that company, they run a plant in Derby that has been producing, well, I guess the company itself sells 65 million baseball hats a year. Most of those are the replica hats made for consumers, for fans to purchase. They produce most of those 65 million through third-party manufacturers, generally overseas, particularly in China. But because of their special relationship with Major League Baseball, the hats that they produce for the baseball players, the actual Major League ball players that they wear, you know, the game hats that they wear on the field, those hats are produced, they are required to be produced within the United States, and those hats are produced at the factory in Derby, New York. That plant puts out about 4.5 million hats a year. A fraction of those, you know, somewhere around 10% of those are for actual player hats. But the plant itself is an integral part of providing uniforms to Major League Baseball players and outfitting fans around the country and around the world. Now, just last year, towards the end of the year in November, New Era, they announced that they're going to be closing this plant. This plant has been open for 60 years, and they're going to be closing it. They announced that it would be closing in March, which is right where we are now. So it was announced to be closed within the next few weeks here, and they'd be moving the operations of producing the hats for Major League ball players will be moved to a facility outside of Miami, Florida, and the rest of the, you know, non-ball player hats would be outsourced and sent to third-party manufacturers, again, mostly in China. So the plant itself that's being closed in Derby, they're going to lose 219 jobs, roughly. And those, you know, have been and to this moment still are union jobs. Those are unionized workers working there. Those unionized workers are unionized under the Communications Workers of America Local 14177. Now, those workers found out in November that they will be laid off, and their work with what they do producing the Major League Baseball hats will be moved to Florida to be produced by non-union workers. So right there, you know, it's already pretty clear how that's connected directly to the issues that we talk about here. You know, not only is it losing jobs, but it's losing good paying, long-standing union jobs. Now, New Era, the company itself, the officials for that company, they claim that the decision is it's not to cut costs, it's not a union busting move, but of course they always claim that. They're saying that they're shifting their business model to keep pace with the changing industry. They claim they're evolving into a company focused on design and branding. They're focused more on marketing and e-commerce rather than on manufacturing. The company put out a statement that says, New Era is one of the last companies in this industry to own and operate manufacturing plants. This decision to close the Derby plant is not about chasing lower non-union wages. as has been erroneously reported in the media. The decision, in fact, reflects a fundamental shift in the company's business model. And the CEO, I was mentioning him before, but his name, you know, the Koch family, his name is Chris Koch. He is the patriarch of that family, and he's the CEO of the company currently. And he put out a statement saying that that the company itself has an obligation to our employees, partners, and to our customers to ensure the long-term success of this company, and we need to keep pace with changes in our industry. So, you know, it's all the things that you would expect when companies shutter manufacturing facilities and when they you know, lay off workers, when they ship things overseas. Of course, they're not going to say, yeah, this is intentionally to bust unions and to cut costs. That would never be the claim made. I mean, at least not now. Maybe in the Gilded Age that would have been said, but that they would never come out and say that's the reason. Of course, they have a litany of other reasons why they are making this decision to cut over 200 union jobs from an area that has been their home for, you know, the last 60 years, for the better part of a century. Another reason that the company has not explicitly come out and said, but that is widely speculated, is that the Trump's trade war that he's been pursuing with China has put new tariffs on the import of their products from their Chinese manufacturers. So their hats coming in from their third-party manufacturers in China are getting receiving pretty steep tariffs, and so that's leading to a loss of profits. And therefore, you know, because the ultimate goal of this company is to be profitable and to figure out ways to maximize their money coming in while, you know, minimizing the money going out, that's likely another cause of why they're choosing to shutter the plant with the highest paid workers that they have. So, you know, all of that is on its own. It stands on its own as a bad thing for the workers there and a bad thing for the region. Now, the company itself is going to maintain its headquarters in downtown Buffalo. So there are still some jobs that are remaining there, but, you know, those are mostly white collar, mostly executive level jobs. Whereas the blue collar jobs, the jobs that are available to the folks who, the majority of the type of people, you know, the working class people that live in that region, are being removed. They're being, you know, laid off. So that, you know, that of course on its own is a travesty, a tragedy for that region. Now, it's drawn a lot of critiques, not only from folks in the area, but as you'll see, it's actually become a national issue. So the workers themselves, they signed an agreement when they found out they're being laid off and receiving severance packages. They signed an agreement along with those severance packages that barred them from publicizing the issue or from organizing around the issue. So, you know, they weren't allowed to organize to push for the continuation of their jobs. They weren't allowed to go to the media. They weren't allowed to bring attention to this issue, to their own plight. Now, I don't know the nature of what that agreement was, but I have to imagine that it was, you know, pretty tough for those workers to agree to that, considering that they would likely want to fight to keep their jobs. Luckily, though, local politicians and activists became immediately aware of the issue, along with a number of different unions and organizing groups in the area who have been fighting to, you know, have been supporting these workers and been fighting to push back against New Era's decision to close the factory. Local politicians have also taken up the cause. The local Democratic Congressman Brian Higgins of New York's 26th District pointed out that New Era recently benefited from local tax cuts as well as the national tax cut put forward by the Trump administration. But as we've seen with most companies, unfortunately, that receive benefit from those major tax cuts, instead of deciding to reinvest back into the community that helped build the company and supported them and allowed them to get to the point that they are, the profitable point that they're at, they decided to take that money and, you know, reinvest it in their own pockets. Not a surprise, but it's, you know, still not a solid move for the workers. At a recent protest that was held outside of New Era Field, which is where the Buffalo Bills football NFL team plays, there was a major protest held outside of there in you know, not only because the stadium is named for that, but also because it's a high profile space in a city, in the city that's being affected by that. Mr. Higgins, the congressman, said that These are good people who want nothing more at the end of the day than to go to work and provide for their families. New Era has an obligation to invest in these people. And, you know, of course, those are his constituents, but also they're his neighbors, they're his friends, they're his family members, likely. So, you know, there's folks there, not only politicians, but also, you know, the community is reeling from this. You know, if you lay off, you know, it's 219 workers who live in that area, you lay off them, you're not just, it's not just impacting 219 individuals, but it's, of course, in fact, impacting their families. You know, so that may be just one spouse or partner, but it may also be children. It may be a larger extended family from that. And then, of course, it impacts their neighbors and, you know, on top of that, impacts the local economy. You know, these are high-paying, good, stable jobs. They're family, you know, these are family wages that these workers are receiving, and you take 219 sources of family income, family wage income, out of the community, that's, of course, going to be a major blow to the local economy. So on top of that, you know, the part of the severance package that the laid off workers, when they signed the non-disclosure agreement, they also signed the severance package agreement, and that you know, it's a fairly generous package for, you know, all things considered. The workers who have an average tenure of 19 years on the job will receive 1 week's salary for every year they worked, up to 26 weeks. So, you know, that will cover them for a few months, but certainly nothing is better. You know, there's no severance package that's more generous as a substitute for the loss of gainful employment. So that is a major blow to those workers there. Now this, you know, there's been a lot of pushback from obviously not only the people I mentioned, but also just the community at large. As I mentioned earlier, New Era is a point of pride for that region, and it's a pretty high-profile employer as well as just a local entity. And so folks are pretty disappointed that the local family that owns them has decided to harm their own community in this way. A lot of folks in the area contrast it pretty starkly with the couple Terry and Kim, I believe it's Pegula or Pegula. They're the folks who own the Buffalo Bills as well as the Sabres. Now, you know, they're also multi-billionaires, so I don't know how generous they would necessarily be when put in a similar situation. But that couple, they are large benefactors for the region. They bought the Sabres, the NHL team, the hockey team there, and revitalized that was a team that was... It was largely failing. It had not done very well on a national stage for a while. They reinvigorated it with cash, and they changed up the marketing scheme. You know, they made it fun for fans to come to the in-game experience as well as the you know, changing the outward look of the team. So they did a lot of things to revitalize interest in that team. And then in 2014, the Buffalo Bills, the NFL team there, they were failing. The owner that, you know, that had owned them since they were founded, he passed away, and the NFL was threatening to move the team out of Buffalo to a larger market. And this couple stepped in and bought the team at the last minute and saved, you know, what was a beloved institution in that region. Ironically, they actually beat out a bid from a group put together by Donald Trump himself when he was prior to being president, when he was trying to be an NFL owner. So this couple, they, you know, despite being mega multi-billionaires, they are heavily invested in the local area. They've done things not only revitalizing these sports teams, but also major infrastructure projects like revitalizing the waterfront there. And so folks have compared this billionaire group, that actually sees roots in the area and invest in the area and tries to support the community that they are a part of and that has supported them for so long, with the New Era company and the family that runs them cutting and running, despite the fact that they are heavily, you know, they are of that community and that they, you know, these are their neighbors and things like that. So that, I think that's an interesting bit of critique that's come out of it. Now, you know, the issue, because of the agreement that the workers had to sign, it remained largely was a decision made in November. This remained largely a regional, local issue up until very recently, up until basically last month, you know, the beginning of Major League Baseball spring training camps, when the pitcher for the Nationals, the Washington Nationals Major League Baseball team, Sean Doolittle and his wife, they discovered the issue. They were looking to shop for hats for their family as gifts, and they came across articles about the issue and realized that it was something that they needed to organize around. Sean Doolittle and his wife Erin Dolan, his wife Erin Dolan is a graduate student at Fordham in New York. She's also an activist, and so this is an issue that rang true to her, and she realized that the two of them needed to jump on. So Sean, the Major League Baseball pitcher, he reached out to the union, Major League Baseball Players Association, the union representing, I believe it's all 750 Major League Baseball players, and asked them if they were aware of the issue and if they were organizing around it at all. The union itself was not aware of the issue, but they supported him taking steps to raise awareness around the issue. So that night he put out a tweet thread basically calling it out and calling for folks to support the issue and to get more involved and to help push back against New Era's decision. Shortly after that, the union itself, the Major League Baseball, the MLBPA, on February 21st, put out a statement echoing what Sean had put forward. And their statement read, "The Major League Baseball Players Association stands in solidarity with the more than 200 women and men at the New Era plant in Derby, New York, who have made the official on-field caps our players have worn with pride for decades, but who will now lose their jobs as the company shutters the facility and turns the work over to a non-union manufacturer. The MLBPA urges New Era to reconsider its decision, which will cause economic hardship not just to the dedicated workers who manufacture the caps and to their families, but also to the town of Derby, which has supported the company for nearly 60 years. It has always been a great source of pride for our players to wear the highest quality union-made caps produced by the New Era of workers in Derby." And, you know, that echoes some of the things I've been saying. And one of the other things that I came across was, you know, it's not something that you necessarily think about when you just buy a hat or when you're wearing it, or even, you know, not only a hat, but any article of clothing. But there's a lot of work that goes into producing the embroidery on those hats, all the stitching, you know, all the work that goes into that. It's a very specialized set of skills. And these workers, you know, they, as I said, the union workers had an average of 19 years on the job. They were the experts at this. They knew exactly how to do it to the exact standards that the players have come to expect and that they demand out of their, you know, it's a performance tool for the players. It is a part of the uniform. It's a part of the way they play the game. And so the standards that these union workers had to live up to were very high. And it is unlikely, and that's not to say that it is impossible, but it's unlikely that a new set of workers who have not been held to such a high standard and maybe don't get as much pride from the job or as much financial or otherwise benefit from the job can be expected to be producing at such a high level right away. And so, of course, it impacts the players, and that's why Sean recognized it. And, you know, as soon as he brought it to the attention of his union and also to the general public, he got a lot of support from other players, you know, not only at the major league level but on the minor league level. But, you know, from the public, he got support, but from, you know, within his locker room and other locker rooms, a number of players recognize the value of the hats that they wear. They understand that they're part of a union as well. And a number of them had gone through, you know, the minors and even lived or had a stint in Buffalo, so had been part of that community. So there's a large outpouring of support from the Major League Baseball players themselves. On top of that, Democratic senators, or Democratic politicians such as Minority Leader and Senator, New York Senator Chuck Schumer, he put out a statement that said, the bottom line is that Major League Baseball caps of our national pastime should continue to be made by experienced, loyal, and talented union workers in Western New York. I continue to urge New Era to reconsider this ill-conceived move that is penny-wise and pound-foolish and will leave 200 productive union workers out of a job." And Sherrod Brown, Senator from Ohio, he wrote a letter to Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, urging the league to work to save the Derby plant. In response to that, Major League Baseball and particularly Commissioner Manfred put out a statement claiming that their hands were tied. They said, given that New Era will continue to adhere to all aspects of our contract, is making a strategic shift in operating in its operating model based on the company's assessment of its industry, and has already signed an agreement with the union, MLB is not in a position to change the outcome of this circumstances. So that's, you know, an unfortunate blow. Major League Baseball, the league itself, would of course have the most pull in trying to overturn this decision, but that didn't stop others from trying to push back on it. With the approval of the Major League Baseball Players Association, Aaron Dolan and her husband and the pitcher Sean Doolittle, they launched a campaign called the New Era Hats Off campaign. You may have seen that, you know, articles about it or the hashtag New Era Hats Off on Twitter online. Their hope is that awareness and outside public pressure will force New Era to change course. At the very least, they want to send a message to other Major League Baseball partners that union busting will not be tolerated. In an interview, Aaron Dolan said, "It's basically union busting, plain and simple. The players are wearing the hats made in Derby, and these are the players in the union. So we want to make sure that they're wearing caps that are made by people earning a union wage. The caps, these caps are at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. They were made in Derby, and it's an iconic symbol of our game." Doolittle himself, in the tweet storm that started it all, he came out supporting the cause. He said, "As players who continue to stand together, it's important that we also continue to stand in solidarity with the union, with the union labor that has helped make our game what it is today. From the garment workers who make our uniforms to the stadium workers, vendors, and security staff at our ballparks, to the transportation workers who people rely on to get to games, their work makes our game possible. Baseball could not have grown into a $10 billion industry without them. As one of the most prominent unions in the United States, we want to elevate the voices of laborers whose work makes our game possible. The Derby, New York factory workers have been part of our game, making the iconic on-field hats for over 50 years, and they deserve better." Now, you know, other people have come out in support of it. They've echoed these sentiments. There is a glimmer of hope, and that is that previously in 2017, Major League Baseball was able to step in and broker a deal to save 600 union worker jobs at the Majestic plant in Palmer Township. Majestic is the company that produces the jerseys that the players wear. So there is hope that they were able to do this in the past. Maybe it can be reproduced again. The decision, you know, the company itself, New Era, has postponed the closure of the plant until June. Now they've come out and said that that's just basically to finish up, you know, wrap up final orders, but it may be a sign that they are cracking a bit. If you're interested in learning more about this issue, you can go to newerahatsoff.com or find Sean Doolittle on Twitter at whatwouldddo. That's D-O-O-D-O. Or you can, you know, you can tweet at me. My Twitter handle is at Michael B. Kath, and I can share more information with you. And just one final note on this, it does make sense that, you know, not only do these players believe in what they're doing, but also in this era of increased labor awareness, labor solidarity, Major League Baseball Players Association itself is potentially coming up on a, you know, they have a collective bargaining agreement that will be up in a couple of years. There's been a lot of cracks in the free agent market. Players are not getting the money that they're looking for, and they are seeing themselves out of jobs for basically no reason. A lot of good players are still in the free agent market. So there's likely a strike coming up in the next few years, hopefully not. But them showing solidarity with other workers and connecting all the people that are tangential to the game and make the game possible, they are looking, you know, not only to show solidarity with them, but hoping that they'll be reciprocal solidarity once if they inevitably have to go out on strike. Hopefully that will never happen, but it has happened before. The last strike was in 1994, and it canceled the entire postseason and really hurt the game. So hopefully that will not happen again. I am out of time. If you're interested in finding out more information about this, you can tweet at me at Michael B. Kath on Twitter. Check out the website, newerahatsoff.com or just search it in Google. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great night. I'm Michael Cathcart.
Up next is Making Contact here on KVU.
Bienvenidos amigos a su programa dominical preferido, Colectivo Armando Puentes, con noticias, entrevistas, comentarios y lo mejor de la música tejana, de 1:30 a 3:30 de la tarde, aquí en KBU 90.7 FM.